Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:41 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is March 29th. Now I'm going to concentrate today on some commodities, but certainly there's been some bullish action in the stock market as well. I'll cover that, but I think what's happening in commodities is particularly interesting. So oil prices have rallied quite impressively over the last 10 sessions from $70 to $80, and today was the first sign of weakness. And that's the first area of potential resistance. So I'm short of oil. I'm rather interested to see just how well the $80 level represents resistance. Now let's look at the longer term chart, because I think it's important to highlight that there is a succession of lower rally highs. There is a series of ranges, one below the last, and the downtrend is still in place. Now, if it starts pushing up through $80, then that's going to be questioned. Then we can start talking about a failed downside break, and particularly a failed break below the 1,000-day moving average. Now, of course, there's lots of different competing arguments. On the one hand, you have the news out of Europe that they're going to be pioneering e-fuels or green fuels, and that's obviously something that could impede demand for conventional oil. And then you have the knock-on effect of that, which would be absolutely no additional investment in oil, and the fact that between now and 2035 there are going to be lots of people who want to use it. So that should be bullish. So you've got both bullish and bearish factors, and of course the bearish factor is that the global economy is slowing down because of tight monetary policy. And then US natural gas is below $2. Now, this is a really significant event that we had the good size rebound at the end of February, and it has been completely retraced. And then on top of that, this $2 area has historically offered support and had brief periods that prices spend below $2 generally result in significant rebounds. And I think it's worth remembering that from the lower side of the range to the upper side of the range is a 200% advance, and that's a big old move in a commodity price. So we could yet see additional downside. And Europe's inventories finished out the winter at higher levels than is normal historically, at over half. So they're not going to be in a hurry to go off and start buying again. So then European natural gas prices are also quite weak and starting to come back down towards the 50 euro level. But this is still a multiple of where the prices were ahead of Russia beginning to withdraw some of their supply. It's also worth highlighting that that started in 2021. So anyone who thinks that the decision to invade Ukraine was made on a whim, should really pay attention to this chart. Now, then just sticking with some of those that are making new lows, lumber prices, having begun to steady around the 300 area, haven't yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs and are still encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is certainly going to help to reduce some of the inflationary pressures in building new homes. And I think that also helps to highlight some of the big arguments that are outstanding, because labor rates aren't going to fall. Once you give people a pay hike, it's very difficult to take it away. But the commodity impact will vary. So we've seen that natural gas prices and lumber prices are coming down, and then the majority of the industrial resources have been quite volatile, but haven't broken down. So if we look at the raw industrial commodity price, it's steadying from the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and it's very clear there was a big pop on the upside between 2020 and about the same period of March of 2022. and we've had a good size shakeout. So this area right here at around the 550 level is the upper side of the range that formed in the aftermath of the peak in 2011. So it's a rather important area. If support is going to be found, this is pretty much it. And we see this exact same type of characteristic in a number of different charts. So bearing in mind that oil prices are also in the region of the upper side of the underlying range. And then let's just think about the NASDAQ. It's also testing the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and it has improved from that area. Now, it's now pushing to another new recovery high. Now, it has not yet broken out. But if it does that, well, then we definitely have an uptrend. We have two higher reaction lows, and then we'd also have a higher high. And that's already a higher high from back in February. So there's a clear trend here that investors are willing to bet that we have come to the end of the interest rate hiking cycle, and that a recession will be avoided. And on top of that, that disinflationary forces are going to predominate, so that interest rates can come down and we can go back to the abundant liquidity environment that prevailed for the last decade. And I think it's rather important to highlight that. And we can definitely see that there has been a little bit of trading around this idea. So I think it's rather important to just look at this chart. I can zoom in here. You have cyclical sell-offs and you've got systemic sell-offs. So we're right in the middle of the range for a medium-term correction in terms of the drawdown. And then you have the systemic sell-offs in 1972, 2007, and 2001. And that was a much larger pullback, somewhere in the order of between 40 and 50%. So then it does beg the question, is this going to stay a medium-term correction, or is it going to turn into a systemic sell-off? So that is, I think, going to be very much dependent on what happens with the 10-year yield. If the 10-year yield is peaking now and is going to come back down, well then we'd be in a disinflationary environment and stocks will rebound, the rebound will persist, and we will continue in what is still a secular bull market. But if yields do not come back down and inflation remains problematic, well then that's going to impact valuations and earning power. One of the most important things about an inflationary trend is that companies get their pricing power back at the beginning. But then because of the rising interest rate environment and the fact that wage growth doesn't generally keep up with the pace of inflation, then it acts as a drag on consumer activity, and then subsequently companies lose their ability to keep up with inflation. So generally what we have is companies that do well, the stock market does well at the beginning of an inflationary cycle and then does not do well towards the end. So then of course it really does beg the question of what's going to happen next. Has there been enough done to curtail the risk within the banking sector, for example? And I think that we're probably at the end of this particular portion of it. There's obviously the potential for a rebound here. We could see the S&P 500 Banks Index at least unwind the short-term oversold condition. But nothing has been done yet to compensate them for the $1.7 trillion in losses that they're sitting on because of buying bonds at the wrong price, and then also for their exposure to the commercial real estate sector. And I think this is something that is going to just be a problem for a significant period of time. So I think that's certainly something that we should pay attention to, that banks underperforming is a warning signal. Now, something that is, I think, also worth highlighting is that several of the commodity prices in the soft commodity sector are trending higher. So orange juice was up the limit today, and perhaps more importantly than that, has been trending higher for a year already. So we had the hurricane hitting the orange growing belt in Florida last year, which damaged trees. But then there's also this issue with citrus rot. So that's contributing to additional upward pressure. And then let's think about sugar. And sugar goes into everything, and it is trending higher. Now, it's been ranging for a year. And it's easy to think, well, then we're not going to have a lot of volatility, but we should remember that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. And this has been a really very orderly consolidation in the region of the peaks from back in 2017. And this looks like the end of a rather lengthy decade-long base formation. And we have to go back really a very long time to see prices that are historically anywhere close to where there's the potential for a rise here. So we've seen in the past that there has been very spiky activity in sugar, and it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that that's going to happen again. And then let's think about soybeans. Now it's also, I think, worthwhile thinking about this both in the short and the long term, because in the short term, we've had a good size bounce this week, so it's holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. But then, the more back history we look at, I think the better perspective we get that prices have held the 800 cent level for the last 15 years, and this is a very lengthy range at which has transpired above the long-term base formation. So if soybean prices sustain the move up through 1500 cents, well, then there is the potential that we're going to get another step higher. So that's obviously then also going to contribute to additional upward pressure on everyone that uses soybeans. And of course, that means cattle. And cattle are often fed soybeans, and the feeder cattle price is trending higher in a fairly rhythmic fashion here. So, when we think then about the kinds of factors that would contribute to wage demand growth and inflationary pressures, well, we know that the Federal Reserve doesn't like looking at agricultural prices, but they are rising. And that is going to have a knock-on effect for consumers, most particularly in terms of political views. So we have lots of commodities that are continuing to jump higher here. Now, rough rice is also an important one, and it's been ranging for most of the last year, but ranging at an elevated level. And prices were a little bit softer today, but that doesn't do anything to deny the fact that we've had a very sizable rebound over the last 3 weeks. And this is now coming up into the region of the upper side of the range that's been underway for the last 12 years. So we have lots of evidence here of commodities starting to move. And that's not only because of oil prices. There's also the additional point that the dollar index has rolled over. Now, it was a little steadier in here today, but it is still below the 200-day moving average. And from a cyclical perspective, big bull markets in the dollar don't generally last more than 7 years. So this one's already a bit long on the tooth. And If that's the case, then there's the potential here that the dollar could trend lower until approximately 2030, which if it does continue lower from here, that would be a significant benefit for all manner of commodity prices. And of course, then we have gold, and gold prices are back approaching the $2,000 level. This has been a very mild consolidation, at least so far. Now, the price was in negative territory today, but it has rebounded very impressively from the failed break below the 1,000-day moving average. And it's not unusual to have gold ranging for multiple years at a time. And in the big bull market up from the lows in 2000, 18-month consolidations were the norm. Now we're heading into 2.5 years for this one, so it's not an 18-month consolidation. And we've definitely had a more volatile environment for commodities generally. But if the dollar is going to continue lower, and we are still in an environment where there's a strong likelihood that support will have to be forthcoming for the banking sector, well, that money is likely to be printed, and that is a competitive advantage for gold. But then it's also just worth highlighting that gold is appreciating in a whole range of currencies. So it popped on the upside 3 weeks ago against the pound and has paused a little, but not certainly not coming down in a dynamic manner here either. And then it also made new highs against the euro and the yen. So gold appreciating in a host of currencies is generally a very bullish phenomenon, and it implies that the negative real interest rate environment that it thrives on might have been eroded over the last year, but that it's likely to improve again. That's basically what gold is beginning to price in, that the future is going to have negative real interest rates. Now let's then think about some of these international markets, because if the dollar is likely to underperform, then it's going to bolster interest for foreign investors in other markets. So the FTSE 100 is bouncing here from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And UK mid-caps generally are trading at a valuation discount. So the pound is steadying, and with the dollar weakening, then there is certainly the potential that a lot of bad news has already been priced into the UK, and that there is the potential for a recovery. Now we can think in generally the similar terms towards the Eurozone, and the Euro stocks has bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is looking more attractive in terms of having broken this a year-long downtrend and now finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average. But I think it's also really important to highlight that in terms of a U from the perspective of a US dollar investor, this is much more impressive action. And the relative value argument for favoring non-US assets is going to become more powerful if the dollar does continue lower from here. And with commodities doing better and with non-US assets doing better, that's very similar to a rerun of the kind of environment we had between 2000 and 2 and approximately 2008 through 11. So it would very much support the view that we're going to have a bull market in emerging markets as well. So the Mexican stock market continues to pop on the upside here. This is in US dollar terms, where it's now back testing the 3,000 level. And in local currency terms, it's approaching its all-time peaks. Now, Brazil has been going through a very significant fiscal consolidation, trying to get the inflation rate under control, and it has massively positive interest rates, real interest rates. So any measure taken to reduce interest rates and to stimulate the economy is likely to be beneficial. And the Brazilian real continues to hold its sequence of higher reaction lows, and it's shown here as a sequence of lower rally highs for the dollar. Now, if we then think about the Latin America dollar index, then what we're going to see is this massive devaluation over the last decade, and very clear evidence now of base formation development. And relative to the size of the decline, where the majority of currencies, but this is heavily weighted to both the Mexican peso and the Brazilian real, are at about a third of their value relative to the peaks from back in 2011. So the currency in their favor could have a really profound effect on the performance of their stock markets when growth starts to recover. Now, of course, we're still in an environment where liquidity is tight. So it's when the liquidity worm turns, then that's likely to be a strong catalyst for a major change in focus for investors. Something that I find particularly interesting is I saw an article today, and it was interesting. It's basically saying everyone wants to make Ryan Reynolds money because as an actor, he has a big public profile, and he's been able to sell his position in Mint Mobile, and now he's a billionaire. But then I think about the kinds of conversations I've had with people, and there's an increasing number of people I've spoken with who have said, "Well, I have a position in this company, and I put money in early, and now I was hoping that it would list, and that I would basically make Ryan Reynolds money, or that I'd become a millionaire, or I'd become a billionaire." And when I think about those types of conversations I've had in the last year, I've probably talked to five or six different people. And that tells us that there's been a lot of money that has flown into private assets, and the market for IPOs has dried up significantly. Now, obviously, when we think about what's going on in China, and Alibaba is splitting up into six different companies, and there'll probably be other companies that are split up as well. And that will fuel some listing activity, but it's not really going to create a lot of demand for new money coming off the sidelines. The one thing we certainly know is that there are trillions of dollars sitting in money market funds right now, and lots of people are not willing to put their money into the market. Now, we can definitely see where there are opportunities that are going to arise, and that will start to perform in due course, because all of that money sitting in money market funds is going to look for better returns once interest rates have peaked and start to decline. But in order for that to happen, we would need to see a catalyst for the Federal Reserve to start reducing interest rates and to be able to claim victory over inflation. So one of the reasons why gold is also doing better is because investors are betting that they're only going to be able to claim partial victory over inflation. And of course, if they only claim partial victory, it means that we could be in a longer-term inflationary environment. And of course, that would then also have an impact on fiat currencies improve the outlook for commodities, and then also improve the outlook for emerging markets, because emerging markets generally have better experience of dealing with inflation, and also they have higher growth rates. So, and those two factors would make them more attractive generally. So I think we're still in a difficult environment. To me, at least, it feels like we are at a major change and that this is not simply a medium-term correction. Now, of course, the counter-argument to that is that technology is inherently deflationary, that the hype we're currently getting around the potential for artificial intelligence is very real, and that it will contribute to much more enhanced productivity and therefore a marked sea change in the outlook for economic growth. But I think that we are a little early and that a lot of it has been very hyped. But of course, that doesn't mean that it won't be priced into markets, particularly considering how much the stock market pulled back in 2022. But inflation has not yet been got under control. And until that happens, I think then there isn't a great hurry to go all in. And I think we have to at least be aware of the potential that there could be additional other problems in the banking sector, because interest rates have not yet begun to come back down, and because high yield spreads are still high, and we still have inverted yield curves. Now, the most important thing about the inverted yield curve is that when it starts to trend higher, then that is generally when the biggest risks are. And for the last week, it has been locked in an exceptionally tight range. So there's no urgency. I think the other big warning factor here is that there's still a lot of liquidity around, and the appetite of retail traders for zero-day options is extraordinary. And generally speaking, that's not a good sign when retail investors believe they have an edge over professionals. It's usually an indication that liquidity is way too high in the market. And I suspect then that we have to be prepared for the potential that there will be additional tightening measures. But then we can also think about Bitcoin being quite strong, holding the break above the 25,000 level. And as a liquidity barometer, this is a reflection of the bet that we are at the top of the interest rate cycle, and that interest rates are going to start coming back down, and that the most likely scenario is that the partial victory against inflation will be enough for central banks, which of course suggests that we are now in a new inflationary environment overall. So I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.